Okay, welcome to Into the Channel, a podcast primarily about women's football. Before we hit the pitch, if you enjoy the show or love women's football as much as your boys do, come kick it with us already. Subscribe, follow YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to watch or listen. We are there at @ITC_pod on X. I am your host, Dino DeCespedes. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Grant Engel. What is up, man?
Oh, I'm feeling just fantastic. We're going to talk more Champions League. We've already talked about the NWSL. This is a two-beer program. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm very thirsty this evening. So, yeah, I'm excited. The Champions League is coming back. Let's talk about it.
Let's do it. Let's rev our Champions League engines up a little bit here. Semifinals kick off this weekend, if you can believe that. We made it. When it was announced, like, April 20th felt so far into the future. I was just like, God, damn, we have to wait, like, it feels like a year. But now, this Saturday, we're going to be a couple kids on Christmas. Again, shout out to the NWSL. Shout out to the She Believes Cup. Shout out to Euro qualifiers. Just getting us to this point. With that said, two monster matchups coming up this Saturday. Barcelona versus Chelsea. Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. 4:30 a.m. Pacific. Sorry, bro. And that will be followed by Lyon versus PSG. That one going down at a much more reasonable, much more West Coast friendly 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Both matchups streamable here in the U.S. on DAZN. Let's do a quick little check-in on each of our four semifinalists. Maybe share some initial thoughts on what we will be looking out for when the Final Four kick off this weekend. Mr. Grant Engel, where do you want to get started?
I think we should start with the favorites. Let's talk about the Catalans. Let's start with the powerhouse, Barcelona.
Let's do it. So this weekend, Barcelona got a nice little tune-up match with Villarreal. Claudia Pina got the scoring started. Villarreal kept it interesting for ultimately wilting to the barrage that is that Barcelona attack. Anything you noticed in this one?
I think we need to make a quick addition to the ITC record book. Talk about Claudia Pina's goal, the opening goal in the Villarreal match. Beto Uelo has the ball inside the 18. Multiple defenders. They need to swarm towards Salma because, of course, well, you wouldn't do anything any other way. They converged on her to probably stop what they felt was going to be a certain goal. One of the defenders pokes the ball to Pina, who then drills it home for the first goal. Beto Uelo doesn't get the credit for the assist on that, but I feel like it's a pretty clear assist. How do you feel about jotting that in the ITC record book?
I already jotted it. I think nice. I was on your same wavelength. I mean, this Barcelona team is just, I feel like we can be giving out a lot more assists than we actually do give out in the ITC personal record book. But that one stood out for sure. So I'm glad you called it out.
All right. I appreciate that. Good to hear we're on the same page. I do think we should give a shout out to 27-year-old Jamaican forward Kayla McKenna, who scored the equalizer for Villarreal off a great pass from Lucia Gomez. But I think that equalizer kind of ended up proving something that we've talked about throughout this Champions League watching Barcelona is that the margin for error versus Barcelona is just minuscule. Mm-hmm. Later in the match, Fridolina Rolfo puts Barcelona ahead 2-1 on a long cross that just happens to get over the head of the keeper and hit the side netting. I believe our pals over at Men in Blazers podcast, it's a shot, it's a pass, it's a shass. I think that's what it was. I think Rolfo clearly hit it to be a cross. It ends up going into the net. And then the floodgates just kind of open from there. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see the players on Villarreal kind of look at each other like, okay, so now Barcelona's going to get lucky too. So not only, if you want to stand a chance against Barcelona, not only do you need to play your absolute best, but you need Barcelona to make some uncharacteristic mistakes. But then you also need luck to be on your side and no luck to be on Barcelona's side. Okay, then. Good luck checking all those boxes.
Yeah, tall task. You said it, man. After Rolfo makes it 2-1 with that cross shot, Barca gets another two goals from Salma Parayuela. Yeah. So not only does she get into the ITC record books, she also gets into the actual record books with a couple goals. And then they get another goal from, I don't know, two-time Ballon d'Or winner, Alexia Putellas, you know, who earns a penalty, then smashes home the PK. That's now 10 goals for, one goal against for Barcelona in their two matches since we last saw them in the Champions League. And they look as potent as ever. I think they're in pretty good form. I do want to switch gears, though, and talk about the team Barcelona will be facing, and that is Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah, let's talk about them. I mean, some interesting results here over the last month or so. Mm-hmm. They've lost two of their last three matches. They have their 1-0 loss in the League Cup final versus your Arsenal. They notched a 2-0 win at home versus Aston Villa. And then just this past weekend, they had an away loss at Manchester United 2-1 in the FA Cup semifinal. I mean, you just don't see Chelsea lose a lot of matches straight up. And for them to have two losses, both of which are in cup scenarios, it's got to feel kind of weird going into a semifinal against the juggernauts in Barcelona for the Champions League.
Not a good time to be looking a little wobbly.
Yeah.
Might be a little bit of an accumulation of factors that could end up derailing what's left of Chelsea's seasons here. You look at everything from the Millie Bright injury, Sam Kerr, Mia Fischel, Emma Hayes as a manager, not a whole foot, but maybe a couple toes out the door here. We've talked already about Hayes starting to install things here with the U.S. Women's National Team. We know she's involved in some capacity. It's such a massive job, even for a rock-solid professional like Emma Hayes. Like a responsibility like that, how does that not trickle into your day-to-day life? Or just kind of maybe erode a few percentage points off of your focus in terms of like what you're working on now? I'm not saying that that's kind of what we're seeing, but I think all of these little factors do add up to just some weird results. I mean, these are close losses, well-contested losses, but they're losing.
Yeah.
And now it's really like they've got to travel to Barcelona for this one. A rough result here. I mean, it might be a wrap. Barcelona is definitely capable of that. So what are your thoughts on kind of like what might be off kilter a little bit with Chelsea?
I think you hit on something interesting in talking about all those factors. It's Emma Hayes' final few months with the club. They had this pressure of like, they could win a quadruple if they win the league. They could win the League Cup. They could win the FA Cup. They could win the Champions League. And now two of those are out the door right away. I thought there were some interesting things that happened in this match against Manchester United that were like a little telling. Those Reds, they showed right away that they were not going to be afraid to play long passes very early.
Yep.
Their opening goal, they play the ball back to Earps. Earps sends it way forward. The ball gets headed across the halfway line. And then Yves Perisset, who has been awesome in the Champions League and is a great player for Chelsea, she makes a really uncharacteristic mistake. I think what she was trying to do there is play it back to Hannah Hampton. And it looked like it was one of those things where you're trying to get your foot on it to like really, you know, hit the meat of the ball and send it back. And it looked like she might have just got side foot or something like that. And the ball just kind of trickles right into the path of Leah Galton, who I think is coming back from an injury for Man U. And she races onto it, delivers the cross to the back post. Lucia Garcia makes a great adjustment and heads it in the opening minute of the match. And so now you're Chelsea just kind of looking at each other like, okay, there's a lot of time left. We're Chelsea. We can score. But what the fuck was that also? Like that was weird. And I just think when you talk about like the vibes of the club kind of going around and you have that loss to Arsenal in the League Cup in the back of your mind, could it be doubt setting in?
I think, well, actually, quick correction, buddy. You said the goalkeeper Earps. I think what you meant to say was Mary fucking Earps.
Yes, that is right.
She was out of her mind.
Fantastic.
Mary F. Earps. Just vintage, you know, doing everything that you want to see a goalkeeper do in that moment. The emotion after the match. Yeah. From Earps was just like, damn, like it doesn't matter who you're rooting for. That's just a beautiful moment after just a stellar, stellar performance. That was fucking awesome. So I wanted to give her proper props.
Hell yeah.
And I completely derailed myself. What was your question?
So the question was, when Manchester United, and you know I don't like giving Manchester United credit in anything that I ever sure. do, but when they score in the first minute, do you think any doubt started to creep in Chelsea's mind with that Arsenal loss, like pretty fresh in the rearview mirror?
I mean, I'm not sure if that moment creates the doubt, but it does change things, right? You go into it, you're kind of like ready to go. And now United lands the first shot flush on the chin. And like, it's not so much that you're doubted, but like, you're stunned, you know, and it's sure. like it takes a minute. And now you're kind of like, you know, I guess you're second guessing things a little bit. I don't know that we necessarily saw them play that way because Chelsea was still threatening.
Yes.
But things were just a little bit off, right? You know, so it's like, what can we attribute that to? And I think it really just knocked them off what they wanted to do. I think that's what it does. It kind of derails you a little bit from the initial game plan that you might have entered the match with.
I think that's a great point. And I asked the question, it was seemed like a bit of a leading question, but I agree with your answer is I don't think Chelsea is easily rattled. And I actually kind of have some question. I mean, I do realize they've lost two of their last three matches, two of which in serious cup scenarios. But let's go to the second goal in this match. So crosses from the left-hand side, that appeared to be working. I mean, Chelsea had their chances. United was obviously going to keep attacking that left side. So Elatoun wins the ball from Melanie Leopolds. And Leopolds, she's had like a couple starts. I think she's had two starts since the Champions League group stage. You know, a good player, I think recently retired from international competition for Germany, but obviously knows what to do out there. But Elatoun just straight ripped, like had the ball going. It looked like Leopolds was going to take it, just rips it right past her. Toon sends in a great cross to Rachel Williams, mm-hmm. puts Manchester United up 2-0. We're 23 minutes in. I was never a big SpongeBob watcher, but whatever that meme is of Mr. Crab, and it, like you can tell everything around him is shaking, it seemed like that's what was happening to Chelsea in that moment. And I got to say, a tough one for Leopolds. That match, as far as I understood, if I understood the announcer correctly, that was on her birthday. So not great to have Elatoun just run right by you and then hit the assist on your birthday to go down 2-0. But I'll just be honest, I mentioned Leopolds has only played a couple of matches in the Champions League. When they go in and play Barcelona, I don't think that's going to be weighing on their mind too heavily.
I mean, we just have to see what kind of Chelsea performance we get.
Yeah.
Because if they get derailed a little bit early, if it's 2-0, 25 minutes in, 20 minutes in, it might be kind of pack it in territory, because I think Chelsea needs to be able to match shot for shot, goal for goal, which they can, but they've got to be at their best. And to your earlier point, the margin for error against Barcelona is so, so slim.
It's crazy.
You can't give the ball away. You can't kind of like whiff on a chance that was like a wide open look. They're going to need, you know, we always talk about the Aaron Cuthbert goal. This is probably going to be one of those matches where they might need something from Cuthbert.
Yeah.
We know she's good for it. But then you need that front three, you know, or probably front four if you want to think about James, Kanarud, Wrighton, and probably Maya Ramirez. You probably need all of them really kind of cooking.
Yep.
They just were off their game. And you don't know if that's a trend or a blip, you know. And I think we're getting to that point where it's like a bad blip in a bad spot. And it could get really ugly really quick because Barcelona, you know, I think Barcelona also knows this. You know, they've seen what Chelsea's done. They know what it does to teams, like when they just land a three-punch combo like early. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely anticipate Barcelona gunning early. You know, I think they're going to be firing shots. We're going to get some Pina action, some Salma action, Bonmati, CGH. I think they're going to be looking to like knock Chelsea on their heels early and see if that just kind of like deflates them.
I think that's a great point. And I think that Barcelona will be, to use your phrase, I think they'll be gunning for that. And I think in this match, which I enjoyed, it was a reasonable time for me to wake up on the West Coast before I got my day started to kind of see this one through. Chelsea still had their chances, like you referenced early.
Yep.
Lauren James got on the score sheet. Great girl, right and run down the left-hand side. She sends the ball into the box. LJ finishes with her right foot. Easy peasy. Nothing for Herbs to do. Lauren James could have had a hat trick in this one. I think one of the headers that Mary Earps made a diving save on, it was close to the post. The announcer referenced it, that it might have gone wide. It looked like it was going in. Earps had to dive to save it. But then in the 51st minute, Lauren James hits a header that's absolutely perfect, has Earps going the wrong way because of the flow of play. But Earps just, like you pointed out earlier, this was a Mary fucking Earps game. She's able to make the diving save. You can see on the replay from like the wide shot that James starts to do the trot to the left. Like, yep, easy money. That's the equalizer. Because she thought that was for sure a goal. And Earps is able to punch it away. Absolutely great. So, yeah, I think that Chelsea, they're going to be super disappointed with it. But are you going to look at Joanna Ritten-Kanarud and Aaron Cuthbert and Lauren James, Ashley Lawrence, Kadisha Buchanan, Hannah Hampton? Are you going to look at all those players? Maya Ramirez, you're going to look at all those players and be like, yeah, I don't think you have much of a chance against Barcelona. Like, I feel like they're going to be like, yeah, we'll probably be fine. So I think they're going to be able to walk in, put this in the rearview mirror and say, let's go play. Let's go win the Champions League.
Yeah, I'm going to be locked in on LJ. I mean, I've kind of said it before. She shows flashes where you could make the case that she's the best player in the world. Like, I think she's poking around that conversation.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, this is the type of match where you think about like a young like Ronaldo or like, you know, like, and they have these like turning point kind of like high leverage, big pivot type matches where you're just like, oh, damn, like they showed up, they were here, they did it. Like they did what we were waiting to see happen in a huge spot. This is that kind of spot. I don't want to put up, you know, that much pre- not like whatever I say matters, but like, I think, you know, she's still a young player, but this could be an LJ moment, I think, for the books. And I'm pretty excited to see what happens there. But last note on it, I feel like there's nothing really that can knock Barcelona off their game. You know, I think Chelsea can score one early. They can score two early. I don't think Barcelona's going to change any kind of game plan. You flip it, though. If Barcelona gets off to a hot start, I think you can see Chelsea, the vibes or the tenor start to change a little bit. So I think this is going to be one of those matches where it really depends on what actually happens in terms of dictating what the rest of the match, and maybe the rest of the tie looks like.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Because Barcelona, you get behind early to them, you feel like it's a death blow, but Barcelona never has to feel like that. I mean, you could tell they were frustrated with the way Braun was able to pack it in and make things harder for them. But they're just like, okay, as many sports cliches as you want to say, they just kept chopping away, just kept kind of playing their game. And they have to think, eventually we're going to produce enough quality to score. It almost never works both ways, no matter how great of a club you are playing against Barcelona. So I think I'm with you on that. But I will say, if Chelsea goes up 2-0, we might start to see, you know, Lauren James, she's got a little bit of shithousery to her game, which I like. Aaron Cuthbert has the same thing. Like, I think Ashley Lawrence and Kadisha Buchanan, I think they have a little bit of the same thing themselves. I think Jess Carter will rough you up if you're in the right situation. So if they go up 1-0, 2-0, they could be like, okay, I'm just going to foul Aitana Bonmatí and see how much I can frustrate her and maybe get her off of her game. Or I'm just going to foul the shit out of CGH. And are you tough enough to handle it? Which, spoiler alert, if we know anything about our Norwegian siblings over there who we got so much respect for, I think she'll be able to handle it. But it doesn't mean that you won't try on the pitch.
Makes sense. Like we said, this one's going down 7:30 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Let's rendezvous over to France, though, and check in on those two all-star teams as we get prepared for their clash on Saturday. I'd like to start with Lyon.
Yeah.
So the parallels to Barcelona for this Lyon side continue. Both teams within just two goals of each other with regard to goals scored and goal differential through the group stage of the Champions League. Barcelona advances 5-2 on aggregate over Braun. Lyon advances 6-2 on aggregate over Benfica. In their last two domestic matches, Barcelona 10 goals, 4-1 against. Lyon 9 goals, 4-1 against. These two teams have always maybe felt like they were on a crash course. Over a lifetime of watching sports, though, I think we're both experienced to know that things rarely follow that predictable track. But Lyon, they've looked really good, man. A name you love to remind us about, Vicky Becho. She had herself a game. They beat Saint-Étienne 6-1 away. Anything that you took away from that one? I know that, you know, you love a good Becho sans as much as the next guy.
I do, man. I mean, that chip she had from right around the 18 was just as perfectly executed as you could do it. Amazing skill while she's running at pace. And I mean, is she the 7th? 8th, 9th best player on Lyon? I mean, and you know, I like her as much as anybody. Like, I think she's great. I think her ceiling is super high. Think about all the players on this roster. I think she might be the 8th best player on the team, and she could be a world beater.
She's definitely in that neighborhood. I'm just looking up here real quick. Still just 20 years old. I mean, it's just not fair. Like, they have all the good experienced players, a lot of the good young players. So it's no shade on Vicky, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with being the 8th or 9th best player on Lyon because they're fucking stacked. And honestly, on any given day, she could be Lyon's best player. She's that good.
Yep.
Her ceiling is that 100%. High. And she's still got so much growth left to her game and to her career.
Yeah, totally. I do want to mention that Saint-Étienne goal, you know, obviously it was a 6-1 win for Lyon. That goal for Saint-Étienne that was officially credited to their right wing, Amandine Pierre-Louis, It was an entertaining goal, to say that. It ping-ponged off of Endler and off of Wendy Renard before it just like kind of fell right into Pierre-Louise's lap, and she was able to score it. So good for her. I do not know in her history. Shame on me for not doing the research. I don't know if she has a goal against Lyon in her past. But you know what? Amandine, nobody can ever take that goal away from you. You scored a goal against Lyon. You should have celebrated the hell out of it. It was a rout, but hey, you scored a goal against Lyon. There's a lot to be said for that.
Oh, yeah. That probably is a good chance of becoming the Twitter thumbnail or the Instagram hell thumbnail. Yeah. Like that celebration. before we get to PSG, though, I wanted to toss a little chum into the water here. Now, I'm not sure what this means, but this current coaching carousel that we're living in kind of has my head spinning a little bit. We've been talking a lot about the job Emma Hayes is doing, laying the groundwork for the USWNT's Olympic run this summer. Sort of easy to overlook the fact that she's still managing, Chelsea, one of the biggest clubs in the world, still very much in the mix for the WSL and Champions League titles. Then you look at Barcelona manager Jonathan Giraldez, who's leaving after this season to lead the NWSL's Washington Spirit. Then you think about Lyon's Sonia Bonpastor, who is now set to replace Emma Hayes at Chelsea, who just so happens to be a team that she might be facing in the final. So what effect, if any, do you think this like manager musical chairs could have on the semis? Does it open the door for like a PSG who has, I don't know, call me crazy, but it's nice to have some stability in the manager role? Or do we default to, okay, who's got the best players? Give me that team. Or is it a styles make fights type setup? This is, I think, what makes this Saturday specifically so exciting.
Ooh, man, this is a great question. So we know that PSG and Lyon, they produced a banger the last time they played. Mm-hmm. That was the own goal by Dale Almeida that ended up forcing the match into a draw, a match that, frankly, PSG looked like they should have won.
Oh, yeah.
Which you do not say a lot about any time, any Lyon match where you say the other squad should have won.
At Lyon, too, by the way.
At Lyon. Come on. I mean, what a great match that was. Does the coaching carousel matter? I think in the run of play, probably not, right? Like, we love good manager talk. We love good coaching talk. But I think when they're on the pitch and, you know, it's time for Basha ball, Lindsay Horan is doing her thing. You're serving the ball in there to Le Sommer or Karidatu Diani. I don't think they're thinking about, man, Sonia, she's really going to take that other job, huh? Like, I don't think that's what's happening. Could it matter in the margins? Could it be like you're 3% less prepared building up to the match? I think maybe, but I mean, Bonpastor's pedigree speaks for itself. The resume, check the rings, check the medals, if you will. They don't do rings over in European sports, which is always funny to me. They prefer a medal and a trophy. But I mean, if you're Bonpastor, you just say check the trophy case. We're doing all right over here.
Trophies with a Z.
Trophies. I think it's worth a question. I mean, you know, it's only human nature to be concerned about like, hey, you know, I got this next gig coming. I have an opportunity to get that cool promotion. I almost wonder, I would love to hear from Lyon supporters, their thoughts on like, wait, so you say Chelsea's a better option than us? Like, you already coach the second best squad in the world. What are you going over there for? To go live in London? I think it's an interesting question. So it might create some extra juice when the match is played in Lyon. So I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's only one of four potential outcomes, but a Lyon-Chelsea final would be just the tastiest of matchups. I mean, just to see those players being like, oh, you want to go coach that team? And you know, let's be fair, it's probably a giant bag associated with a kind of move like that, considering that team in London. Let's talk a little bit about PSG, though. A little shaky. So since we saw them last, 3-0 win over Dijon at home. And then just this past weekend, a 3-3 draw away at Guingamp. PSG was actually down in this one, 3-2, and needed a 78th minute wonder strike from Sandy Baltimore to get out of there with the point. They also got goals from, stop me if you've heard this one before, Tabitha Chuinga and Marie-Antoinette Katoto. Mm. All that said, though, maybe not the outcome you might be looking for heading into this epic, epic Champions League tie. But to your earlier point, they gave Lyon the business, you know, just a couple months ago. It might be looking for a little get back this Saturday. Very excited about this one as well. What are you going to be looking forward to?
I think if there's any squad of the four that is going to play with a level of defiance as like the overarching emotion, I think it's PSG. I mentioned Dale Almeida earlier. Like, she's going to be looking at this match. She's got this one. Like, okay, I'm making up for everything that happened last time. And then you mentioned that top three, Baltimore, Chiwenga, Katoto, they're going to be running and gunning. God, I am so psyched for this match. I think it's going to be an absolute banger. I think it'll be on a day where we're also going to have Barcelona play Chelsea. I'm somehow more excited for the other match. I think that kind of says it all right there, because I think PSG is going to come in here and be like, this is the time. It doesn't set up any better for us than this. And like, I think athletes always say, oh, I don't care what's happening in the other bracket, whatever, whatever. I think every athlete who then retires and then goes on TV or goes on podcasts, we know that is just a blatant lie. So if you are PSG, you look at this and go, we get past Lyon, we're going to play Barcelona for the Champions League, and we can get that shit done because we're just as fast and tough as they are. I don't know, man. Like, I like Lyon a lot. I like all their players. We talk about their pedigree, their coaching, all that. I think PSG has to enter this match thinking they can win. I think they can win too.
I agree with you, and it's really just based on – it's tough to see them kind of like draw this tough one against Gangon, but like team, you know, not high up the table.
Sure.
But I just can't get that performance at Lyon out of my mind. You know, I think, you know, I close my eyes, I can see Elise de Almeida right now punching frozen cow carcasses and some freezer, you know, Rocky style, just kind of getting ready for this one.
Hell yeah.
You know, I think Karshawi, she brings an energy, an attitude to like a match like this. And I think even if it is just a few percentage points, like having Bon Pastor moving on, our guy Camp Pope, he mentioned this with Giraldez. You know, he's like, this is already the end of an era at Barcelona. Doesn't mean that they're going anywhere, but this is the end of the Giraldez era in Barcelona. This is the end of the Bon Pastor era in Lyon. Doesn't mean they're going to lose, but it's not nothing. You know, and I think to your point, PSG's got to be looking at this like, we are going to get this team.
Yep.
They haven't looked their best recently, but their best this Champions League season has been right there.
Hell yeah.
When they're at their best, you're just like this team is very, very tough to deal with. And this one's going to be another one where I think either way this goes, this one's going to go down to the wire, I think, between these two teams. I think there's so much firepower that you can go down one, you can go down two. It's not going to change. I don't think either of these teams' approaches. They're just going to kind of keep gunning, keep pushing, keep playing their kind of game, and then see kind of like where the chips land at the end of it. But I think I agree with you. I think I'm more excited about this matchup in the late slot on Saturday.
Yeah, man. I mean, just a certified banger. I think it's going to be physical. I think it's going to be chippy. I think, I mean, we saw the way the last one played out too. Like, I think there are going to be some chicken wings. I think there are going to be some elbows being thrown. I think there might be some, maybe a little bit of acting involved in the final third on either side, frankly. So yeah, I mean, it's everything you like about football when you watch it. I just could not be more excited for it.
Oh yeah. Got Wendy Renard back.
Let's go.
Well, you know, this one's going to be, I don't know, pay-per-view. Shout out to DAZN again for hooking us up and letting us take all of this in. Saturday's going to be here before we know it. Very excited. Anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it, man. I think we covered it. The only thing left to do is just kick it off and let's play.
I'm with it. All right, man. I think we did it. This has been another episode of Into the Channel. Thank you. Thank you for watching, listening, liking, subscribing, just playing, hanging out. But most importantly, thank you for chiming in. You know, obviously, this is a learning podcast, according to our guy, Mr. Grant Engel. And I think every time we get a comment or a note, it just makes us smarter. And pretty much 99 times out of 100, you all are on point. So we really do appreciate the little community here that we're building at Into the Channel. So remember, subscribe or follow Into the Channel, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to watch or listen, at @ITC_pod on X. And a big thank you to my co-host as well, Mr. Grant Engel, for being in Champions League form day in, day out. Doesn't matter what day it is on the calendar. My guy's always ready. I appreciate you, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm trying to stay ready. I mean, you know, a wise person once said, you ain't got to get ready if you stay ready. I mean, let's fucking play. Let's get to Saturday already. And then after that, we'll be talking about the matches. We'll be watching the games, bro. We know all of you will be as well. And we'll be here to talk about all of it. So we will see you guys then.